One of the most challenging aspects of faith is the question of unanswered prayers. Because all of us have prayed for someone at some point in time. And many of us have struggled when we've prayed for someone or something that we really cared about. Maybe we asked other people to pray with us and for us, and then it seemed like our prayers were unanswered. This is especially hard when we are emotionally connected to someone, that someone that is sick or their marriage is dissolving or their relationship is broken. It seems like whatever it might be, we experience or we see someone experience pain, loss, or brokenness. Someone we've been praying for, and we just want to know why. Have you ever wondered why? If you have, we're going to address more of that next week. But that question leads many of us to struggle with doubt. Remember, shortly after I began pastoring my first church, I went to the hospital to visit Ernie. Ernie and his wife, Sissy, were very involved in the church. They're the kind of people that every time the church doors were open, they were there. Sissy sung in the choir, and anytime something needed to be fixed around the church, Ernie was there helping out, helping make it happen. And Ernie was having some heart problems, and he went in to have surgery, and I went in beforehand to pray with him. He was a little nervous. And so before the procedure, we held hands, we talked, we prayed, and I left just knowing that everything was going to be all right. It was going to be just fine. Well, during that procedure, something happened. He started bleeding, and they had a hard time getting it under control, and then he had a heart attack. And when they were finally able to stabilize him again, the prognosis wasn't good. Then when I finally got to see him, I was able to lay hands on him and pray with him, and I prayed like I had never prayed before. Sissy and I prayed over him. And when I finally left that evening, I left with a sense of peace, knowing that he was going to pull through. And early the next morning, Ernie had another heart attack. And despite the cardiac team's best efforts, they could not save him, and he did not recover. He died there. Sissy was devastated. I was devastated. I mean, I had prayed hard. I'd prayed the prayer of faith. I had laid hands on him, and I knew that God could heal him, and I knew and I believed that God would heal him. Yet for months afterwards, I questioned why God didn't heal him, and doubt racked my soul. Perhaps you faced something similar. Many of us struggle with our faith when God is seemingly impotent. We ask, where is God? Is there a God? Or is all this make-believe? And if God is there, why isn't God working? It feels like God is unjust. We wonder, does God even care? And then we see instances where it seems like God answers our trivial prayers. Like one holiday season, I was pulling into the store and the parking lot was packed and I was in a hurry and I said, dear God, Lord, I'm in a hurry. Help me find a good parking spot. And as I pulled into the front row, bam, right there, a car was pulling out. And I was able to pull right in to that rock star, that country star parking spot right in front of the door. I was like, praise God, glory to God, man. I have God's favor. God has heard my prayers, and thank you, God, for listening. And then there's times where I got to ask, why does God answer such trivial prayers but doesn't answer prayers for a woman who is longing for the life of her husband, or a parent who's losing a child, or a person dying of cancer, or a couple that is bound for divorce? These are the kinds of questions we often have and wrestle with, and sometimes people lose their faith over it. And part of the dilemma is what we read in Scripture, what we read that Jesus says. Jesus says if we pray with enough faith, or even with the faith of a mustard seed, just a little bitty tiny of faith, that nothing will be impossible. And even in our scripture today, Jesus says that if we are in him, then he is in us. And God will give us anything we pray for. Then Matthew 18, 19, Jesus says, again, I assure you that if two of you agree about anything that you ask, then my Father who is in heaven will do it for you. These are pretty clear, pretty strong statements. We look again in Matthew 7, 7. Jesus says, ask and you will receive, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, whoever seeks finds, and whoever knocks the door is opened. And then in Matthew 21, 21, Jesus says, I assure you that if you have faith and you don't doubt, you will even say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the lake or into the sea, and it will happen. That if you will have faith, you will receive whatever you pray for. We all find these beautiful promises of Jesus. And then it seems sometimes like life doesn't always work out that way. And that's hard. Now, I can confess that I've prayed for thousands of people, and I feel like most of the time my prayers are answered in some way or another. I receive the answer or an answer to those prayers. Yet there are also times when there were serious illnesses or someone ultimately died, even after I had prayed fervently and I'd prayed hard and I'd pled with God, then they weren't answered. And I wonder, why? Jesus, why did you say these things? I mean, sometimes I want to go up to heaven and knock on the door and say, God, what's up? Is this really what you said? And if it is, did you mean it? Or did the writers miss something, or am I missing something? Some Christians try to wrap their mind around this and roll it all together nice and neatly by blaming it on us, by blaming it on you. They say, well, it's your fault that your prayers aren't answered, that you are asking with the wrong motive, or that you have unconfessed sin in your life, or that you lack faith. To me, that just seems a little unjust to blame the person who's grieving or hurting for their own prayers not being answered. But the truth is, when we look at the life of Jesus, I can pretty much say that prayer doesn't always work that way. See, a few weeks ago, we heard about a father who had a son who had what we called epilepsy, who was hurting himself, falling in the fire, and he asked Jesus if you can do anything to please save him. And Jesus says, if all things are possible for those who believe. And the man cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. In other words, give me more faith. And Jesus heals the boy, even though the man wasn't completely confident in what Jesus could do. So all of us struggle with faith. So obviously, that can't be it. And then there's the unconfessed sin. And we look at all the people that Jesus healed, and Jesus healed a lot of people. And I'm pretty confident that every single one of them had unconfessed sin in their life. Yet they were healed anyway. Then there's the idea that we pray with the wrong motives, that we're asking for selfish reasons. And again, I recall Jesus healing so many people, a lot of people. And not all of them had their lives sorted out. Most of them were broken and messy. So they weren't coming to Jesus because they had some altruistic wishes or motives. Yet Jesus healed them anyway. So when we think about unanswered prayers, we can't think that that's how it works. But here are some ideas that might help us. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus spoke with hyperbole. You know, for example, when I'm really hungry, maybe you've done this, you say, I'm starving. And are you really starving to death? No, we're just trying to say that we're really, really hungry. Or perhaps Jesus did this on occasion, like when he said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off, or your eye to gouge it out. Did did Jesus really want us to mutilate our bodies? I don't think so. But I think what Jesus is saying is that sin can seriously mess you up. So take it seriously. But just like when Jesus said, if you have the faith that you can move this mountain and you can throw it into the sea. I don't know anyone in Scripture or anyone anywhere in life who ever prayed for a literal mountain to be moved and cast into the sea. I think Jesus is making a point that when we pray, to trust God, to come to God and ask God, and somehow God will move mountains in your life. Jesus is encouraging us to have faith when we pray. And still, we read in Scriptures about people who prayed for things and then didn't get them. For example, when we read the Psalms, a lot of the Psalms, probably 30% of the Psalms, are complaints to God. They're laments. It's people crying out to God and complaining to God because they're upset with something God did or God didn't do. And they're asking God for help, and then God didn't answer their prayer. And so now they're going to complain. They say things like, how long, God, will you abandon me? Will you forget me forever? Why are you not helping me, God? Why haven't you answered my prayers? Why haven't you rescued me? We see in Psalm 22:2 where the psalmist cries out, my God, I cry out during the day, and even at nighttime I don't stop, but you don't answer. Then we look in the New Testament. We see that even the Apostle Paul prayed for God to remove a thorn from his side. We don't know exactly what this means or what it meant, but obviously he was troubled and he asked God for help. And how did God respond? God told him, no, my grace is enough. In other words, God wanted Paul to rely upon God's grace and not himself. And Paul concluded, he said, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. And then as I reflect on this, I remember that it was Jesus who made all these promises. Was there anyone more faithful than Jesus? Oh, absolutely not. Yet even Jesus had what we might call two unanswered prayers. So the night before his crucifixion, Jesus is gathered with his disciples. And in John 17, he prayed and he says, I'm not praying only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their word. I pray they will be one, Father, just as you and I are one, as you are in me and I am in you. I will pray they will also be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. See, Jesus is not just praying for the 12 disciples right there. He's praying for those that hear from those disciples and those who hear from them and from those who follow afterwards. He's praying for all of us. He's praying for me and for you. Yet today, we're still not one. We've got thousands of denominations, and that doesn't even include the independent churches. And we're still not united. And so somehow, the church has not seen the result of Jesus' prayer. And then just after the Last Supper, Jesus takes the disciples to the Mount of Olives, and he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying there. And he's in agony. And Luke 22:42 records Jesus' prayer. He says, Father, if it's your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. And Jesus prays this three times because he's wanting to avoid the suffering and the beating and the torture and the death he's about to receive and he's about to experience. And finally, from the cross, just before he dies, Jesus cries out, Psalm 22, verse 1, he says, my God, why have you left me all alone? Jesus felt abandoned, and we often feel that way when our prayers aren't answered. However, Jesus also finished off that prayer in the garden with, not my will, but your will be done. So even when we're asking for something we want, we can also pray for what God wants. Like when we prayed in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And when I reflect on this more, and I go back and read the psalmist again, even after they cried out to God in anguish and sadness, loneliness and frustration or anger, they almost always ended with some form of affirming their faith, saying, no matter what, I trust you, God. No matter what, God, I know you are good. See, God never promises that he would always make everything better or take away all of our pain on this side of heaven. But he does promise to be with us. He promises to be strong for us and to carry us through our troubles. And sometimes God doesn't answer prayers because we can't see the future and we don't understand what might be on the other side of the prayers or how they might affect our life or the world around us. I mean, sometimes we're praying for rain. We're sitting here praying for rain and the person who's next to us is praying for it to stop raining. And then I'm reminded of the song by Garth Brooks, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. Maybe you know this song. I asked Fran to sing it in the first verse, and the first service, she told me no. that was an unanswered prayer there. But in the song, he sings about running into an ex-girlfriend from high school. See, back in high school, he thought that she was the one, and that he had prayed every night to God for him to make her his. And then later on in life, he doesn't marry her, he marries someone else, and he's with his wife when he runs into her. And it's awkward. And he turns and he looks at his wife, and he thanks God for the blessings of this life. And then he says, thank God for unanswered prayers. Because sometimes God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Maybe you can relate. A few years ago, I ran into an old girlfriend. I was with Fran, and I thank God for those unanswered prayers. I mean, Fran and I have been married for 17 years, and she's the most amazing woman ever. And we weren't even looking when we found each other. I thank God for her. Sometimes we can't see what we can't see. And maybe that's one of the reasons God doesn't answer some of our prayers. But other times, perhaps God doesn't answer our prayers because God's not going to violate our free will. God's not going to make somebody do something they don't want to do. He's not going to force them to go against their will. Because sometimes we want God to fix a relationship when the person is determined not to love you. It doesn't mean that God can't work on their heart and on our heart, but it has to be up to them. Finally, there's also the ancient church practice known as ora et labora, the Latin phrase for pray and work. It's the idea is that when we pray, we get down on our knees and pray, and then we get up off our knees and we go to work. Prayer tunes our heart to something or someone so that we can get up and go and do something about it. We get to work being the help that we have prayed for. See, it's not good enough to pray for people to have food who are hungry when we don't feed them. We're also called to give them food. James 2 says, if we pray for something, then don't do anything about it, it's useless. That's a dead faith. Instead, if we pray for people to be warm and to be well fed, then we need to give them clothes and food. When we pray, it's meant to help tune our heart and move us into action. Now, we might not necessarily be able to cure someone's cancer, but we can come alongside with them and say, you know what? I'm right here with you, and I can help you. I'll mow your lawn. I'll do your dishes or your laundry, or I'll bring you dinner. Whatever it might be, we have a chance to put our prayers into action and come alongside the people that we're praying with and praying for. And here's something else to think about or remember. Most of the time, when God works in the world, God is not sending us an angel with wings. And God is not miraculously suspending the laws of nature to heal or to help. It would be awesome if that was every time. I mean, we wouldn't even need hospitals. All you are doctors, sorry, you're out of work. That would be amazing. But that's not always how God works. Yet, it was the church that created hospitals as a way to bring healing. And we're learning more and more how to do this all the time. Another example of how God answers prayers is divine appointments. I know before we started some of the feeding ministries here in our church, we were asking for what the community needs. We were praying, God, help us to help somebody. What are the needs of this community? How can we help them? And at the same time, there were people out in the community that were praying and asking and seeking help. And God brought us together. So now, every week we pack over 300 meals for hungry children. And every Thursday night we feed over 100 adults and their families. And every Wednesday night we feed youth and children and adults in our feeding ministries. You know what? Not everyone is able to serve in each of those ministries, but many of you are able to give faithfully to help fund that work. Most often, that's how God works. God works through us and uses us. And often when we're looking for it, we'll find that God answers prayers through us and answers our prayers through someone else. So then someone might ask, well, why do we even pray then? Why do we even need to pray? If God isn't going to miraculously intervene, then why should we pray? Well, most importantly, Jesus tells us to pray. Jesus prayed often, and he teaches us to pray. So it's important that we pray. You know, I've been serving in the ministry for about 23 years now, and I've prayed for and with thousands of people, and I feel like most of the time, that God has answered my prayers in some way. And I feel like there is something that happens in response to our prayers. I can't prove it. What I've asked for doesn't always end up happening, but sometimes it does in mysterious and miraculous ways. Of course, there's been times when things didn't happen. There are times when I found myself laying flat on my face, pleading with God, and not getting the answer I want. Sometimes I did. And I'm learning to live in that tension and in the mystery of the faith that I don't always know why it did or didn't happen. But I do know that I've prayed for people to be healed from physical, mental, and emotional pain. I've prayed for people, prayed with people to be healed from their addiction to drugs and alcohol and pornography and other vices. And I've prayed with people struggling with sickness and disease and cancer and injuries. And I've seen God change people and heal people and turn their lives around. So I know God hears and answers prayers. And when people have prayed for me, I've experienced strength and comfort and renewed hope. And I'm often rejuvenated by your prayers. Many of you share how you have prayed for me or been praying for me in the church. And I feel that. And I thank you. Maybe it's something about what God does in prayer and what we do in response. And maybe God is leading us through asking why and into asking what now. And maybe it's less about us telling God what to do and listening for what God wants to do. What I do know is God is not some cosmic vending machine where we put in our prayer and we plug in what we want and get it out of the little box. No, prayer is more about relationship and being in communion with God, talking to God, praising God, giving thanks. And whether we're praying for others or offering ourselves to God in service, prayer is a relationship. It's a form of communing with God and asking God to use you. And God is never offended when we ask. So ask for the miracles. Ask for the big things, especially when you need a miracle. Pray, ask, seek. But also understand that God may work through us in different ways. So may we pray and work and trust Jesus. And let's hold on to those promises of Jesus. And let's ask for more faith. So let's trust in God to hear us, to heal us, and to use us in bringing healing to others. And I pray that through your prayers, you may experience hope. Amen?